what's certainly different now is, you know, in the past, it was just the verbal bashing in large part. But now it's certainly with the very specific proposals to cut pay, furlough employees, cut benefits, cut the workforce. It's a far different environment. And, you know, we understand the economic and political realities, but the fact is we're in very challenging times, and I think it's very tough for a lot of executives and managers to meet expectations given these circumstances.
One of the things that can be very difficult for managers is managing in this age of austerity, where you have people who say, okay, you cut my pay. Well, I'm going to do a nine. I'm in at 9 and out at 5 o'clock. I think part of the is to remind folks, hey, this is all about the mission. Most cases didn't become feds to become rich people. We came because we're passionate about the mission.
Well, absolutely. I don't really expect that to be a problem, particularly at the executive level. I mean, these people are working, a lot of them are working incredible hours as it is. So I'm sure they're going to continue to devote themselves to their jobs. But my concern is that an awful lot of them are eligible for retirement. And if we lose a substantial number now to retirement, we are really going to be in trouble. Because I think the loss of that institutional memory, their capability, is a first-class problem, especially when we look back during this past year at the survey we did and the study we released.
Yeah.
With regard to 14s and 15s, concerns about entering the SES.
And that's exactly one of the questions that I wanted to ask about, because one of the things that has happened this year is a survey you did of both SES folks and potential SES. And there is still this almost reluctance to join the senior executive ranks because they say, why should I do this?
Well, exactly. I mean, the fact is that about half of them still did, who took the survey, still expressed interest in aspiring to the SES ranks. But the major deterrent was the lack of work-life balance. I mean, clearly they look around and they can see the kind of hours that these people put in. And interestingly enough, by the way, what was not high in the hit parade was the pay situation, lack of a locality pay, and so on. But then about 25% of them wrote extensive comments. And what did they talk about? The fact that pay was a problem.
Yeah.
So this is really, really problematic, you know, right now.
And really no progress. In fact, I think in some people might argue even anti-progress has been, even that some of the, with the pay freeze and the freeze in locality pay, even roll back some of the thoughts that people may have been dealing with.
Well, it's really, I think it's somewhat demoralizing at the executive level, because for the last 6 years, executives have been in a pay-for-performance system, so they have not had cost-of-living adjustments. They don't have locality pay. So that is, you know, it is a problem, even though, as I say, we do understand the economic and political realities.
Is there anything that might be positive that can come out of this? As the Washington Post did its editorial and said, hold on, maybe this is a good opportunity to look at the whole GS system and say, hold on, is there a better way to do this overall?
Well, that is an interesting thought, because as we know, John Barry, you know, came into OPM with a real commitment to pay reform. So interestingly enough, I mean, this may provide that opportunity.
And so what would, as we look forward, what would you hope would be in a reformed pay process?
Well, I think we've got to take on a couple of issues. We know that, you know, government pay is never going to be equivalent to pay in the private sector. And I don't think anyone ever expects it to be. But we really have to deal with, well, what should that relationship be? How much of a difference is too much? And certainly whether we have to solve the issue of executive pay, because we just looked a couple of weeks ago at all of the pay schedules that exist, and it turns out there are 82 pay codes that are equivalent to the senior executive service. So when you think about motivation to come into the SES, that certainly contributes. And I don't know how you wrap your arms around what has become a crazy quilt of personnel systems and pay systems, but it would really be terrific if we could make some headway on that.
And again, these incentives for becoming senior executives, it seems like we want some mechanism of recognizing these as the best and the brightest.
Yeah, and let me just say that it isn't only pay. I mean, there are other pieces to this issue, and for example, the ability when you are in the SES to contribute fully to the mission of your agency, which yeah. has to do with communication between political appointees and careerists, and also, frankly, back to that favorite old topic of too many political appointees, too much layering.
And so do you have hope that something about this, when we sit down and have this conversation next year, are we going to be saying, hey, we made some progress around this area?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I suppose that would come under the rubric of hope springs eternal.
There you go. The glass half full.